The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at an historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laugh as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Let's hear it for our super producer, Mr. Max Sunday Williams.
Sunday.
So I've been, you know, it may be Sunday while someone's listening to this, but there's never a bad time to check out a monster truck show. Have you ever seen one, you guys?
Not in person. They do, what is it called? Monster Jam here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. It's a big thing, very popular event. I was invited to go once and I couldn't make it, but I want to go. I want to see, what is it, Truckosaurus? Is that a thing?
Truckosaurus is, we mentioned this in our previous episode, right? Truckosaurus is in The Simpsons. It's a truck dinosaur created by Professor Frink.
Right, and it shoots fire and stuff, right? Yeah. But I think, isn't that based on something real? I swear it is. There's like
a... Robosaurus is the real life version. Dinosaur robot created by Doug Malowicki, I want to say, in 1989.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, but Monster Truck, I mean, it's just, you know, I've made no secret that I'm not the biggest sportsman on the planet. And it's weird because like Monster Truck, it's not really a sport. It's more of a spectacle, kind of. It's more like going to see an air show or something, wouldn't you say? Is there a competition element involved? I don't think so. I think it's all kind of, it's also not like a demolition derby and that has like a goal, you know, where someone wins. But I don't think anybody wins. You know, it's a rally. So it's not necessarily like a competition, unless I'm mistaken.
Well, it's a heck of a good time as long as you're not in a truck that wrecks. We always, I think, associate monster truck rallies with a sort of halcyon era in the 1980s. You know, WrestleMania was a thing people tuned into. And if you are unfamiliar with monster trucks, if you've never been to a show before, you might be surprised to learn just how popular this stuff was. Just a few years before Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant conducted WrestleMania 3 at the Pontiac Silverdome in Pontiac, Michigan, about 4 years before that happened, 68,000 people poured into the same Silver Dome to watch a converted Ford F-250 with oversized wheels crush other vehicles, just smashing them the way you'd walk on water bottles.
Mm-hmm. And that scene setting comes courtesy of Jake Rawson at Mental Floss, who really kind of likened the whole wrestling phenomenon with monster trucks. It really is kind of the same bread and circuses spectacle of professional wrestling, but instead of wrestlers, you've got these insane converted trucks. And when we say converted, we're basically referring to, you know, how it all kind of started, with a Ford F-250 truck. Yep, that's just one whole hundred bigger than the F-150, which is already pretty massive. You know, it's converted by being given massive wheels. Mm. And obviously all of the gack that goes along with that, you know, the, what do you call it? The, you know, I'm sure it's got a modified suspension and all of that, you know, with hydraulics and maybe not hydraulics like lift, but something that allows the shock of literally running over cars to be absorbed to the point where the driver is not going to get jostled, you know, out of their seat.
Right. Exactly. And this is a huge moment for a huge truck. The crowd is looking at this thing called Bigfoot, owned by a guy named Bob Chandler, and they love it so much that they swarm the field. They want to get closer to Bigfoot. And the guy who owns it, Bob, he rolls up the windows and stops the show and drives off because he's afraid his monstrous truck will take some monstrous damage. This is the story of the monster trucks. Now, we want to be clear with you folks, like any amazing origin story, there are some differing narratives. So you're going to hear different sources saying different things about who invented the quote-unquote first monster truck. We'll stick with Bob Chandler for a moment here. He's got a really interesting story. He was a carpenter by trade, and he used to be in the Navy where he worked as a minesweeper. When he was about 35 years old, he wasn't dreaming of making monster trucks. He just liked pickups. You know, if you're a carpenter, a pickup is a great vehicle. You can haul lumber. You can haul tools. You can go camping if you want, like a friend of the show, Alex Williams, who is eternally camping, it seems. Let's go back here. Let's get some help from our friends at Hagerty.com, Cameron Nevue, who has a great article on the brash, disputed birth of the American monster truck. Noel, can you paint the scene here? What was going on with the origin of the trucks? Do we have to go back to the 1960s to understand?
We do. We don't have to, but we choose to because that is where it started. The big three auto companies, you've heard of these. I believe Chrysler was one of them. Ford was the other. What's the third big American auto company?
GM.
GM, of course, General Motors. You know, back in the golden era of American manufacturing of cars, because obviously the car was an American invention. But then, as we know, a lot of these communities really got rocked when overseas manufacturing became more cost effective, and a lot of foreign automakers began to, you know, flood the market with affordable vehicles. So, you know, places like Flint, Michigan, for example, really, you know, got hit super hard when this happened, and they lost a lot of their infrastructure. But in the 60s, things were booming, and the big three started to kind of build and put out vehicles that emphasized the idea of the open road, or rather, the off-road, being able to just take your car wherever your little adventuring heart may lead you. Ford had the Bronco, which was kind of styling on a previous vehicle model, the Jeep, which we know, but it kind of combined the off-roadiness of the Jeep with something more akin to like a family car, you know? So you had kind of the best of both worlds. And this did very well. You know, consumers were all about this idea of freedom. Even if they never took the thing off-road, they liked to think that they could if they wanted to.
Yeah, this is kind of the birth of the sport utility vehicle, or SUV. And you have doubtlessly seen many of these, especially if you live in a city. You might have been a little aggravated seeing one slow down at a speed bump or a pothole, and you're wondering, why'd you pay so much for the four-wheel drive? Off-roading was booming at this time, or mudding, whatever you want to call it, especially on the West Coast. People would go onto the dunes and they would build these tube frame contraptions with balloon tires, which are exactly what they sound like. They were originally designed for Arctic exploration. In this milieu, in 1974, Bob and Marilyn Chandler of Missouri purchased their brand new Ford F-250. Now, my car stuff's coming out here, guys. I don't think anybody should buy a vehicle brand new. unless you get a really, really good deal.
Because there's that whole, like, you know, depreciation the moment you drive it off the lot scenario, right?
Even worse than a boat.
What's the number? It's a shocking number.
It changes over time. It's been a while since I looked at it, but it could be significant, you know. I've seen numbers like 15%, et cetera. And it also
depends.
Ben,
you'd be proud of me. I bought a certified pre-owned.
I know. We talked about it. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I remember making these schemes. And that's been a really good car to you, man. That one's held up, right?
Dude, I haven't had to have any major work done on it at all. And it's still kicking along beautifully. It's a great car. Highly recommend. Not an F-Ford 250. I wouldn't be going off-roading in this guy. Although maybe I could do some modifications to put some bigger wheels on it, but I don't think I'll be doing that.
Yeah, it's a rabbit hole, and it's a wallet vortex and a time vampire. But if you want to mod,
I love all those metaphors. Yeah,
okay, this is the thing. They want to mod their vehicle too. They want to be part of this off-roading boom. But Bob and Marilyn have a problem. They say we can't find 4x4 parts in our home state of Missouri. So. Yeah,
if you would put your car stuff on again for a second to explain to me and the listeners, what is 4x4 referring to?
So 4x4 is short term or for four wheel drive. And that means that you have a two axle vehicle drivetrain that can provide torque to all of the wheels simultaneously, as opposed to something like front wheel drive or rear wheel drive, where it's just that one pair.
I know what four-wheel drive is. Never until this moment did I know that 4x4 was referring to that, but that makes sense. So this is obviously a feature that would be very helpful in getting enough torque to, say, launch your modified F-250 over a sand dune.
Right, yeah. And there's also all-wheel drive, which is very similar. It's a little bit different. All-wheel drive is always going to be active, and four-wheel drive, you have to turn it on. It has to be engaged by the driver.
And part of it is also about helping getting you unstuck. Right?
100%. Like, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And helping you navigate, you know, uneven terrain. So they want to get in on this. And they call a friend in 1975, shortly after they buy this Ford. And it's a buddy of theirs who loves going off-road. His name's Jim Kramer. And they say, look, let's start our own business. We found an opportunity. Let's sell 4x4 parts. And they say, okay, we're going to call the business Midwest Four-Wheel Drive, and we're going to supply people. We're going to be based in St. Louis. So this guy, while he started his new business, he's still doing his off-roading, right, without all these modifications just yet. And he is wrecking his poor Ford often, like tearing up engines, axles, you name it.
And, you know, so he was putting these big oversized wheels on his F-250, 48 inches to be precise, and that would also involve modifying the axles so that they could support that. And I was just doing a little digging, and it seems that because of that lack of 4x4 parts, and maybe no one had even really considered doing this yet, these wheels were really only available from, like, farm equipment and more industrial equipment, you know, like backhoes and things like that. Maybe backhoes are more tread-based, but, like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, certain tractors would be
sure.
That's exactly right. Because they need to, you know, go over rough terrain by their very nature.
Or wheels on a harvester. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes total sense. And this is funny because the guy starts this shop because he wants to have a shop like this selling things to him. It's kind of like someone who starts a restaurant because they're hungry. You know what I mean? He's dipping into his own supply pretty quickly. He gets easy access to all sorts of parts. The Mental Floss article you mentioned earlier has some quotes from him. As his cabin begins to loom over the road, this is a gradual process building up to those 48-inch oversized wheels because it's advertising for the shop. But he says, I never really had the thought to build a monster truck. I had a stock Ford 250, and I kept putting bigger and bigger tires on it. Then I broke the axles, so I put bigger axles under the truck. Then I didn't have enough power, so I put a bigger engine in there. It was, quote, just kind of a vicious circle for about 3 or 4 years. The truck gradually got to be its own star, I guess. And so he would zip around town. I mean, this is great. He's a rolling billboard for his company now. And this is a fast vehicle. Like, once he gets the engine in there, this is cartoonish on the road.
Totally. And Ben, correct me if I'm wrong here. Again, if you could put on your car stuff, Helmut, the idea of stock cars, this would that refers to using stock, like consumer available cars and modifying them, right?
Yeah. A stock car is an ordinary car that's been modified in some way, usually for racing. The other version would be a stock car in the world of trains. That would be like a railroad car.
So this is a stock truck. It's being modified, not necessarily for racing, but for trucking, for monster trucking.
Right. Yeah. And we know how he got the nickname too. His buddy, Jim Cramer, who helped start the business, he joked about how Chandler had kind of a lead foot. He said, Bob Chandler's big foot is always on the gas. And people started calling him Bigfoot. And Bob Chandler strikes me as a pretty cool guy to hang out with because he leans into the nickname. He says, oh, people are calling me Bigfoot on the streets. I'll just paint it on the truck. And
he was also Bigfoot in the sheets.
Right. Locals loved this. And he got people coming out of the woodwork trying to buy his unique truck.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
You know, Ben, I got to say, one of the best parts about spring cleaning is that post-clean clarity you get where you're like, man, how have I been living like this? What's wrong with me?
You're right, Noel. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan.
It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month.
To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
That's mintmobile.com/ridiculous. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only.
Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply.
See Mint Mobile for details.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Now, I'm not trying to be a pill here, but I suspect that not all locals love this because I don't know if you've ever seen anyone driving one of these things around like Atlanta, trying to squeeze into parking spaces or cutting you off from traffic.
No, don't love it.
No, it's not great. These things really are designed. I would not make this my daily driver. So maybe, you know, it led to like, okay, well, time to take this thing off the road, literally, and into something more contained, you know, where we can really see what it's made of.
Yeah. And, you know, the car does become a celebrity. I, for the record, 100% agree with you about not having big vehicles in densely packed urban areas. That's not off-road. You know what I mean? And I'm speaking from personal experience when I say seeing somebody in a huge off-road vehicle slow down at a speed bump. I try not to judge people, but if it was a video game, they lose like 10 points of respect.
Easily. Yeah. Easily, at the very 10. Least, negative XP.
Yeah. And these vehicles are very expensive. Look, let's play inflation calculator a little bit. So the Ford, in its factory version, the Ford F-250 that he bought, it sold for about $4,400 straight in the mid-70s. And that would be, if we could get a boop.
And a boop.
$16,000 in today's money. But once he got it modded up and it became the Bigfoot truck, people would try to buy it for 50 grand, which is, if we inflation calculate, $185,000 today.
Dude, okay. I mean, and that makes sense because not only, I mean, I'm sure that the parts and labor and all of the, you know, modifying that went into it, you know, added some to the price tag, but I don't think that is sheerly what this figure is referring to. This is also just the wow factor of it all. The fact that this thing did not exist outside of what this guy created, right?
Yeah, and the story goes national. The Los Angeles Times interviews the couple, and Marilyn Chandler says, when we go out at night, it looks like lightning because so many people are taking flash pictures. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And speaking of, you know, Hollywood coming a calling, you know, in the form of the LA Times, it really did come a calling in a much more, you know, palpable way that you know, created what we now know as the Monster Truck Rally. In the summer of 1979, when Chandler was 38 years old, he met a guy by the name of Everett Jasmer, which is a really great name, Everett Jasmer, who was a drag racer and also a fan of trucks. And that, you know, there would have been rallies and things, or, you know, not rallies like what we know as the Monster Truck Rally, but, you know, meetups, let's call them, like little car meetups and, yeah, and stuff like that. So there was a circuit, you know, and this was a relatively somewhat, to some degree, burgeoning kind of thing. I mean, I'm sure, you know, off-roading, well, I mean, no, we talked about that. That was really kind of more a phenomenon of the 60s. But still, that's relatively, that's only, you know, about 10 years at this point that we've been having this. So it's still a relatively nascent kind of hobby, I guess. So the circuit would have been pretty small. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it would have been something that you were aware of if you were involved with this, if you were a quote-unquote car guy. But it wasn't getting, what's the best way to say it? It wasn't getting the same level of recognition that, say, like a NASCAR would be getting. It was prominent enough in the American zeitgeist that it did make national news. And this guy, Everett Jasmer, I'm so glad you introduced him. He was a Chevy guy. He had a 1970 Chevy K10, and he had bought it used in 1974. Good job, Everett. And he has a lot in common with Bob Chandler. He's named his truck, and this is the funny story. This comes to us from history.com. Everett was mowing his lawn one day, and he had a vision. Vision.
Yes. Vision. Yes. Yes, he was visited by the ghost of Monster Truck Future.
Exactly. And the ghost of Monster Truck Future said, Everett, you need to make red, white, and blue license plates, and you need to put USA-1 on them. And Jasmer made it so. Everett had one of these hanging on his wall. He put the plate on his Chevy, and then that became the name of his truck, USA-1.
Do these things I say to thee, and they will come from far and wide for to spectate the spectacle which you would be at the center of.
If you rev it, they will come. There was no such thing as a monster truck yet. They're still like in the first part of Field of Dreams here. And their friendship between Bob and Everett, these guys create a national phenomenon that leads to a $1 billion industry. And it all starts with a phone call to Bob Chandler's aftermarket 4x4 shop in 1979. Hollywood comes calling.
Oh, yeah. We teased the call, but really quickly, I've got to backtrack for 2 seconds. Field of Dreams. Think a superior name for that movie would have been Baseball Ghosts. What do you guys think?
Agreed, 100%. It is cool. Known. Yeah.
Cool. So Chandler gets a call from the pictures, from a movie producer who's working on a comedy. This is also, you got to remember, this was like in the 70s, there were a lot of like big rig type movies, you know, like Every Which Way But Loose, if I'm not mistaken, which is the one where BJ and the Bear, I think, is one where there's like a orangutan or a chimpanzee and like, what's his name? Burt Reynolds driving a 4x4. And if I'm not wrong, Every Which Way But Loose might have to do with a 4x4. Definitely there's a monkey in that one too. Sorry, an ape. But yeah, truck movies, you know, even like the film from the 70s, Sorcerer, which is, you know, fabulous, you know, kind of like adventure, rollicking, kind of like very complex character study by William Friedkin, involves driving a big rig across a like rope bridge. And the rig is loaded with like nitroglycerin, and it's really one of the most tense sequences in film. So it makes sense that Hollywood would have caught wind of this and be like, how can we bake this in to like our, you know, our truck pictures, you know?
Yeah.
So he's working on a comedy with a fabulous title called Take This Job and Shove It from 1981. Very irreverent. And he had seen Chandler's truck in one of these kind of magazines that would have been, you know, featuring this kind of stuff. These kind of, you know, DIY sort of motorist mags.
Yeah. And this is a golden opportunity. They say, we want to have your truck just make some appearances. So Bigfoot shows up in the movie, Take This Job and Shove It, starring Art Carney, Robert Hayes, Barbara Hershey, David Keith, people I'm not really familiar with. It's named after that country song, Take This Job and Shove It.
Barbara Hershey had a really sultry voice, if I'm not mistaken.
Cool. All right. I love a sultry voice. So this monster truck, Bigfoot, shows up as a big-time participant in a pickup truck race in the film. Initially, the studio wanted to use stunt drivers, but no one really knew how to drive the truck as well as Bob Chandler because he literally built it. And so he was behind the wheel for filming. And when he's going to go film, he calls up his buddy, Everett Jasmer, the Chevy guy, USA1, and he says, hey, come hang out with me on this movie shoot. And Jasmer says, this is a great opportunity. So he shows up, and after that, they get invitations to these events around the country. They keep making their trucks bigger and bigger. We have a quote from Everett where he says, it was like evolution. I like to joke. We both crawled out of the mud and became monster truckers in the early 1980s.
Oh, man, that's so fun. And then, of course, they eventually evolved into things like Truckzilla, Truckosaurus, whatever you want to call it. It did become kind of like a Transformers-y kind of vibe, right?
It's weird. They like evolved into the mud, if you think about it.
It's weird. Yeah. And there's also the lesser known monster truck, the Mud Skipper.
Right. And so back to Chandler. He's watching TV one Saturday morning. He's already filmed Take This Job and Shove It. And he sees a show called Wide World of Sports. And he says, I saw these trucks driving around a muddy area. And there was a body of a car in the mud sticking up 6 inches out of the ground. And this Toyota starts pushing it. It puts its front tires on it. And he says, my pal Jim Cramer was with me. And I said to him, I bet Bigfoot would drive clean over a car. And so Jim Cramer goes to one of his friends who has a farm, and they take the truck there. They set out some cars. I guess they knew someone who just had some broke down cars. Max is shaking his head like, yeah, you get in situations.
Oh, well, I mean, think about any number of these junkyards you see in sort of rural areas. I mean, the things are just, they're lousy with them. They're stacked like to the point where they're like towering over the fences. So certainly there would have been plenty of opportunities to get some like beater kind of parts cars to just line up and make a real big showing of.
And it's so weird because they videotape this. It's literally in some guy's yard on a farm. And his wife has a little bit of a problem because she says, this is kind of destructive, Bob. We're trying to make a good, clean name for our truck, a family-oriented thing. But a promoter sees the video and says, I want you to do that in front of a crowd. Mm-hmm. So they say they'll try it one time in a place called Jefferson City, Missouri. The crowd went crazy. Bob Chandler says from that point on, anytime he went anywhere with Bigfoot, people wanted to see him drive over other cars. It's got to be awkward at the grocery store.
Yeah, we have kind of an exchange here between Jasmer and Chandler. Should we just do it real quick?
Yeah, let's just go. That's great.
Let's just make a scene of it. Who do you want to be, Ben?
I'll be Bob if you want to be Everett Jasmer.
Got it. Okay, I'll be Jasmer because he's my favorite name. By 1983, Bob had another opportunity to do the That's Incredible show. He already had 66-inch tires. I was getting ready to put them on my truck. He called me one day and told me about the TV show, and I wasn't ready. I had just a few weeks to get the truck rebuilt and get the 66-inch tires on so we could compete on the show.
We just stepped up to the 66-inch tires, and our trucks weren't really set up for that size tire. They're massive things, 1,000-pound tires. For the show, there was going to be 50-something cars in a row for each of us to drive over. They wanted a race that would be somewhat competitive.
Which answers my previous question. There is, you know, even if it's the illusion of competition, there is like a little bit of built-in competition. Carrying on as Jasmer. I was out of time. We literally didn't have time to put the 66-inch tires on the truck and try it out. We were down to the last seconds, so we loaded the truck on a trailer and loaded the tires and went to St. Louis. We unloaded and put the tires on for the first time at the racetrack. I discovered in the process that the steering wasn't working very well with those big tires, so I was having a difficult time steering the truck during the competition. I've never said this to anyone before. I think Bob knew I was having steering problems, and I think he slowed down to make me look less bad.
Well, as I remember it, I had a speakerphone in the truck, and the producers were yelling at me to let Everett catch up to me to keep it interesting.
It was a fantastic time. Of course, we got a lot of exposure out of it. There were a few other guys building trucks at the time, but we were 3 or 4 years into what people were calling monster trucks. But That's Incredible was a trigger, and people started building trucks all over the place. The promoters made hay out of it. That was a major step in promoting the whole monster truck sport.
So I love how you could tell these guys have become really good friends. And they were packing arenas across the country by the mid-80s. The monster truck phenomenon took over. Chandler's telling people, "I can't believe how the crowd loves to see destruction." And he earned about $10,000 a pop every time he did a show, which was pretty great money considering how many shows they did. And then he started building more Bigfoot trucks. They were all Fords, and sometimes he would send them to events if he couldn't be at two places at once. This is where we saw other trucks coming in, like the ones Everett mentions, right? We see King Kong out of Wisconsin. This is where the narrative differs. The owner of King Kong, a guy named Jeff Dane, would later say, "Hey, King Kong was the first to crush cars." But it depends on who you ask. We know that there was the Barefoot from Illinois, not to be confused with Bigfoot. And Chandler's Bigfoot one, going back to our history.com article, is Monster Trucking's, quote, "Muhammad Ali, the biggest name in the business, the one everybody wants to beat." And they got tired from having to do this constant touring.
Sorry, but I have to add, I can't remember if it was Chandler or Jasmer that said it, but the idea that they were surprised that people were into watching this kind of destruction, you'll remember, Ben, we did an episode in the past on Ridiculous History about staged train crashes. Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How dangerous they were.
Oh, yeah.
The crash in Crush was, I believe, the episode that took place near Waco, Texas, where people were actually injured. And these train crashes were basically they staged these collisions and people would watch them, you know, from afar. And the crash at Crush ended up being such a disastrous kind of explosive collision that people were injured by flying debris. So this to me is just kind of an extension of that. And we're talking this crash at Crush was in 1896. So people's thirst for motor vehicular mayhem, I think, was pretty well established already. Maybe they just didn't realize that there was that connection and that it was something that kind of had already proven out historically that people would really pay attention to. They kind of just stumbled upon it.
Yeah. People love crazy spectacles. I mean, that love of vehicular destruction is a big part of why Mad Max Fury Road is just so unflinchingly awesome.
It's an incredible, incredible movie. It's also a great story and really great acting and just wonderful world building.
Can't wait for Furiosa to come out. So we see some prescience here when Bob Chandler tells his wife, "We got to get what we can because it's not going to last." and as the 80s progress, more and more monster trucks enter the fray. You got Monster Vet, Frankenstein, Blue Thunder, Crimson Crusher with two Ks, King Crunch with two Ks. And a lot of these start getting custom made. They get a roll cage, they get ex-military gear on them, ex-military components, or custom made stuff. Also, although it sounds like it's a bunch of people having fun playing the adult version of Hot Wheels cars, we have to remember that as this becomes a business, as this becomes a sport, people aren't always super friendly. They argue over who did what first. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be the king of the hill, to be the largest, the fastest, to get the most events under their belt.
Well, and it's a classic example of, like, you know, you can trademark a name, you can trademark technology if it displays a certain amount of originality, right? Or, like, you know, kind of innovativeness. But I think popping big wheels on a truck does not fall under that purview, right? So you could very easily kind of mimic, you know, this stuff and make your own monster truck. And unless you were, you know, ripping off a name or like a branding or a logo, you would not be in danger of infringing on anybody's intellectual property. But again, I'm teasing here because the name was everything. That's the brand, Bigfoot, right?
Yeah, that's the brand. You know, it's like the invention of the baseball cap, kind of. You can't tell other people what they can or can't put on their own hat. And so this leads us to one of the great rivalries of monster trucking, Bob Chandler and a guy named Fred Schaefer. Fred lives out in Granite City, Illinois, about 25 miles from Chandler's shop as the monster truck drives. And in the 70s, Schaefer was also a car guy, but he was drag racing. He said, "I wasn't fast enough. I didn't have the financing to become a professional drag racer, but locally, I was the man to beat."
So we talked about King Kong. We talked about Barefoot, right? This is not barefoot, like no shoes. This is like Barefoot, which also, you know, obviously Bigfoot conjures images of the Sasquatch, you know? So Barefoot being a very similar sounding name and conjuring a very similar image, potentially a little problematic, right?
Yeah. So we know there's going to be a rivalry, right? We talked about Fred Schaefer and Bob Chandler. Yeah. One day, Fred Schaefer, the locally famous drag racer, visits Midwest Four Wheel Drive and he says, "I want to see this Bigfoot one in person." And Schaefer would later say, "I don't want to knock his truck, but it looked pretty rough." And he said, "After I saw Bigfoot, I thought, I'm going to go home. I'm going to build me a Chevy truck because I don't like Fords. I never did." Fred seems like the kind of guy who thinks Ford stands for found on road dead, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I forgot about that one. So by 1979, he got some help from his buddy Jack Willman, and he did just that. He, you know, took his automotive know-how and essentially mutated a 1979 Silverado into a monstrous creation with a blown 454 engine and Barefoot with no spaces, just like Bigfoot, painted across the side. He wasn't necessarily throwing shade at our hero of the story today. He was, in fact, referring, this guy seems to go large. He was referring to his pets, of which he had two American black bears named Sugar and Spice. I find it very difficult to believe that Barefoot was not in some way a ploy to create some brand dilution.
Though. He would have known. He had to know. He's a smart guy.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
It works because he gets offers to exhibit his truck and his pet bears, Sugar and Spice, at local tractor shows for $500 a pop. And he says back then, there were only a few trucks in the U.S. We would be booked for months and months and months. And things come to a head at a 1982 truck show in Wisconsin. A local paper says there are only three monster trucks in existence: Barefoot, Bigfoot, and King Kong. And that's not true, probably, at this point. But it is true that they've become a big three all their own. They're known for putting on the best shows.
Well, and those kinds of statements are sort of like world's best cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Looks good on a flyer, but pretty hard to quantify. You know, I mean, there certainly were other tinkerers that were doing something that could be akin to a monster truck, but whatever. So Chandler and Schaefer at this point were trying to desperately to meet the demand because they're, you know, relatively, at least in terms of the world of monster truck racing, there weren't that many of these things that had reached the level of prominence as Bigfoot, Barefoot, and King Kong. So you started to see kind of additional trucks being put out by these makers.
Yeah, they have to meet spectator demand. So Fred Schaefer builds Little Barefoot. Ha, huh, cute. It's a 1982 Chevy S10, and we can get into some of the specifics, the nuts and bolts of the modifications they made, but I think maybe we'll keep it like this. So one of the cool things about Little Barefoot is that he uses planetary axles. They're coming from a military front-end loader. And so he can do stuff like haul off a pillar of an interstate. He can light the tires on fire because of the strength of the engine. And people love, again, they love the spectacle of it. Bob Chandler, eventually says, "Hey, Fred, why don't you come out, meet me at my Bigfoot appearance? It's a tractor meet in Ridgefield, Ohio." And Chandler drives his truck out first. He grabs the mic and he introduces Fred Schaefer in the Chevrolet Barefoot. And then Fred says, "When I came out in that Chevy, there were a whole lot more cheers," which sounds a little petty.
It does sound petty, and he seems like a petty guy. But by all accounts, his truck was better.
Well, that's the thing. You know, he comes later in the game, so he can benefit from
the lessons that
Bob learned. Anyway, they keep beefing up. In 1984, ZZ Top said, "Hey, can we use your trucks in a music video?" Chandler names his price, and then Schaefer undercuts him and gives them a much lower price so he can get in the music video. And then Fred Schaefer's truck, Barefoot, also appears on an episode of Knight Rider. Then it's in another TV show. It's in a Volvo commercial. It's in a Coors beer ad, just like Ridiculous History.
Exactly. Yeah. So at this point, Barefoot is literally eating Bigfoot's kibble, you know, or whatever Bigfoots eat. it is starting to really get to Chandler, to the point where he's decided, you know, maybe he wasn't going to do this at first, because obviously he was trying sort of to maybe not make nice, but to sort of, you know, encourage a little healthy rivalry.
Uh-huh.
But at this point, he feels like, you know, Barefoot is starting to overshadow Bigfoot. So he decides he's going to do something about it.
Yeah, yeah, because Barefoot is all over TV. Bob Chandler sues Fred Schaefer, and he says the name of our trucks is too similar. This is a civil action, but it ruins their relationship. And Fred Schaefer himself says it's been ugly ever since then.
Ugly. Ugly. Yeah, exactly. Got to double down on the ugly. But, you know, this actually did kind of that beef that we were describing, that at first was kind of a controlled beef, and now it's an absolutely out of control wildfire beef. It really does kind of create that same vibe as you see in professional wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with like the heel wrestler, you know, the bad guy. And you know, obviously all that stuff's, hey, sorry, kids, wrestling's not real.
Kayfabe. You know,
manufactured, exactly. Wait, elaborate. I always forget what that means.
Kayfabe is the idea that one will never give away the illusion or show. Like, you'll never let the audience know that the staged performance is indeed staged.
God, is it an acronym or is it a word? What is that? I don't know what this is.
It's supposed to apparently originate from Pig Latin, the form of, like, in Pig Latin for fake, you would say ekfe.
Yeah,
but okay. no one's quite sure, I think.
That's interesting. Okay, so it's sort of a, yeah, got it, portmanteau-ish.
But it's carny slang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. So now you really do have this kind of, you know, pro wrestling level rivalry that at least between these two guys was very real.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And it comes to a head in 1988. TNT Motorsports announces the Monster Truck Challenge. This is called the most powerful sport on Earth. It's going to be on ESPN, and it's going to show you the original monster trucks. Bob Chandler versus Everett Jasmer. Bigfoot versus USA One. Ford versus Chevy. And I got a note here. Noel, Max, in this arena particularly, having one car named USA One feels like you're kind of stacking the deck, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know the audience votes for.
Wasn't that part of his vision from the monster truck gods? USA One, putting yes. That like on the license plate at the very least. So I guess he's still carrying that divine instruction forward, huh?
Oh yeah. And we could you know what? Actually, we have another pair of interviews with these guys. Shall we return to Everett and Bob?
Already in progress. This was a dream come true for me because I came out of drag racing and motorsports, but I had committed the new truck to auto shows for the first 3 months. Of course, I probably got sick to my stomach. I had to sit back and watch the TNT Monster Truck Challenge for the first 3 months. Everyone was running in it, including Bigfoot. I told my crew that we have to get in there for April and do the best we could.
And here's Bob. I think we had Bigfoot 4 as part of that series. There were quite a few trucks competing. I had a driver named Rich Hoser in that series.
Which ended up being probably the best business decision I ever made since I started in the monster truck business. I put the driving into the hands of one of my younger crew named Rod Litzau. We proceeded to go from nowhere in April to second place behind Bigfoot by the end of the season. And we were right on his tail. It came down to the last weekend.
And this is a true story. He's not blowing smoke. The Monster Truck Challenge final had these trucks, which all weighed more than 10,000 pounds, running over cars. They were crashing into each other. They were cartwheeling end over end in the dirt. The two rivals go head to head at the very end in the TNT National Championship. They run at high speeds over rows and rows of cars. As they get near the finish line, USA One loses control. The truck noses forward. It crosses the line first, just as it flips on its side, and technically wins. The driver that Everett mentioned jumps out, and a huge crowd again rolls around. They're cheering for him. Rah, rah, monster truck. Someone in the back probably is going, USA, USA. That's the vibe. And we know that there are, again, more trucks of note that enter the freight. But now we've got people thinking beyond movies. Now we've got people thinking of sponsorships and merchandising.
Oh, and also just to add, TNT Motorsports, which was kind of the premier, I guess, league at this point. TNT stands for Trucks and Tractors, and it was founded in Owensboro, Kentucky by Billy Joe Miles. These events were broadcast on ESPN mm-hmm. and another network at the time called Power Tracks. And this would have aired on what was then called TNN, which I think stood for the Nashville Network, which ran from 1983 to 2000. And then it became what you guys might remember as Spike TV, the men's network.
It's getting a hard thumbs down from Max there. Not a fan of the men's network, but corporate America is watching. The streets of Wall Street are watching. So Chandler gets a lot of money from Ford and Mattel. Everett Jasmer gets money from Chevy and a plastic model company called AMT. In 1992, Fred signs another high-dollar deal with Dodge. This is incredibly important because it's not cheap to build these vehicles. They build more versions of their existing trucks. They send out more trucks to shows. Eventually, Bigfoot alone has a huge fleet of Bigfoot offsprings and spinoffs, all paid for by Ford. A lot are basically carbon copies of the original Bigfoot, while others have different gimmicks, you could call them, different modifications. They're unique projects, like the Bigfoot Shuttle, which was a minivan.
Yeah, a minivan with 48-inch rubber tires and a lift. Yeah, an Aerostar minivan specifically. Thank God, not a Honda Odyssey. That would be a nightmare fuel for all of us, not just you, Ben.
It'd be inappropriate and unfair to the audience.
I think that's right. And all of these, you know, all of these modifications were expensive. So, you know, I mean, a lot of the money they were taking in was going into just kind of upping the ante, right, every time.
Yeah, and over time, again, other people are entering the fray. There's a North Carolina mudbogger named Dennis Anderson, who has built trucks on his own since he was 22. He upgrades his rig to a legit monster truck, and he calls it the Grave Digger, which is super, you know, edgy and cool, like the Undertaker in wrestling.
I was about to say, very wrestling-y.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. So we've got the Grave Digger now. That one's starting. But, you know, I love that you mentioned, Ben, the toy deals.
Yeah.
Because that's a big, I remember these as toys more than I do as televised events.
100%. Yeah.
Those were cool. Everybody wanted one of those. Because then you could take your Hot Wheels, right, and run over them with your big monster truck toy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Learning the rules of the road very quickly, Mad Max style.
Not to mention when they became remote controlled.
Oh, yeah.
And then you really could do, you know, there are those remote control monster trucks that'll let you ride on back two wheels, you know, do all kinds of stuff. I mean, they were really miniaturized versions of the kind of, you know, engineering that was actually in the real things.
Yeah. And we know that Grave Digger was very much on the spectacle end of stuff. Even Fred Schaefer said, he might only last one round, but that round was a dandy. And he had his, you know, entrance music, Bad to the Bone by George Thorogood. Yeah, so people were digging this, and there was a lot.
Grave digging it.
They were grave digging it, and some people would accuse them of grave robbing, or at least stealing ideas. There was so much money involved that by 1991, the United States Hot Rod Association, which is the big dog at truck and tractor pools, purchases TNT, and they had the exclusive booking rights to all the top trucks, including Gravedigger. And the management of the Hot Rod Association said, look at all this profit that's going to these individual drivers. We own the rights here. So they wanted their cut. They wanted their vigorish. Fred Schaefer says, we used to make $3,000 for a show, we'd make about 12 grand in t-shirts. And they, the Hot Rod Association, would take about 40%. We would walk out with 10 grand.
Oof.
That's okay. A heck of a tax.
That's a big old tax. And the driver of Barefoot, actually had this to say about the kind of, you know, the greed that started to really flourish. We're going to give you $1 per shirt. Take it or leave it. That's what he said. The USHRA's perspective was. And if, say, the drivers didn't like it, or the folks who had, you know, founded the whole thing didn't like it, well, they were out of luck, weren't they?
Yeah, they were out of luck. And it seems like corporate malfeasance played a huge role in this. There was an exclusive contract with every American football stadium on the calendar. You just had those choices, you know. If you can keep existing and give us almost 50% of everything you do, or you can say, hey, I had a good time for a few years. Bob Chandler was out, and he was on the outside of the industry that he very much built.
One would hope that he feathered his nest a little bit enough to be comfortable. We don't know that, but I really do hope that that's the case, because, you know, when the whole monster truck thing really kicked into gear, pun utterly intended, was really in the 90s, you know, when the three of us grew up, or I guess maybe at least me and you, Ben, I always forget, Max is a young lad, but in the 90s, we joked about Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. These commercials were everywhere. Gravedigger, at this point, really was the star of the show, or at least one of them, and they rebranded the whole thing to Monster Jam, which is what was just still around today. It was that event that always comes through Atlanta. And it really was kind of like one of those World Wrestling Federation kind of package deals. You know what I mean? Where you'd get to see, it'd be a whole show. The trucks were like the wrestlers, and every one of them had their own personality, and there'd be these perceived rivalries, right, that were probably inspired by those real life rivalries and then just sort of zhuzhed up a little bit, you know?
Yeah, and as there's a cool business decision here, because obviously the suits wanted to push trucks that they owned completely, right? Now they're not giving up 60%. Now they own the whole operation, which is why Chandler doesn't get to do as much when he refuses to sell the Bigfoot brand. And so Bigfoot still did a lot of stuff. Like in 1999, a Bigfoot model jumped over a 727 airplane. And you'll still see a lot of applause from monster truck fans when Bigfoot shows up, when it is in any kind of event. And Chandler felt his age catching up. He did say later, he said someone wanted Bigfoot One, the original monster truck at a show, and said, I want you to drive over cars. This is from a 2017 interview. He says, I said I didn't want to. I'm 75 years old. I don't want to tear things up now. I want to enjoy the rest of my life. And it sounds like he chose the right time to roll out. And, you know, Jasmer says the same thing about his original truck. And they really bonded with these because it changed their lives. And, you know, with that, Noel, Max, I know we went a little bit long, but I'm starting to think we should go to Monster Jam just for the experience, right?
Oh, let's do it. All three of us should go. Yeah, no, it's something I've been wanting to do for some time. And I think this is... What better time than the present? When does it happen? It's got to be a summer kind of thing. I bet you it's a summer.
Yeah, I was looking this up. Man, Monster Jam is coming to Atlanta this year. Wait for it. This month.
No way.
Yes, wait, Ted.
April 22nd and 23rd. Okay, what do you guys say? We go to the Sunday one.
Yeah, I feel like we go to the Sunday one.
Okay.
Max, are you in? Yeah, Max is in. It'll be a little bit of a drive, so maybe we meet up in the city. And then we had
it. We got to do it. It's this coming Sunday.
It's this Sunday?
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah, April 23rd.
Holy smokes. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, we've got to go because we got to make some plans. Thank you so much, fellow Ridiculous Historians, for tuning in. Big thanks to our super producer, Mr. Max Williams.
Alex Williams, who composed this theme. Thanks to Christopher Asiotis here in spirit, Eve's Jeffco, Jonathan Strickland, Ben. Thank you.
Sunday.
Indeed, and we'll see you then and next time, folks.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash.
It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies, so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.